From vision to mission, part 1, Acts chapter 9, verses 12 to 20. The Lord brought into my presence a particular book. It's entitled The Problem of Pain. It was written by this writer, C.S. Lewis, who tried to answer the question, if God is good and all-powerful, why does he allow his creatures to suffer pain? C.S. Lewis wrote in the preface of his book. He says, and he observes very keenly, I want us to listen carefully what he has to say. The only purpose of the book is to solve the intellectual problem raised by suffering. For the higher task, he says, for the higher task of teaching fortitude and patience. I was never fool enough, he said, to suppose myself qualified, nor have I anything to offer my readers except my conviction that when pain is to be borne, when you experience pain, what do? Well, he says here, a little courage helps more than much knowledge. And then he says, a little human sympathy more than much courage. And then he concluded, and the least tincture of the love of God more than all. He tells us a Christian perspective to suffering, how it teaches us fortitude, the courage in pain and adversity, and the patience, the capacity to accept, tolerate delay, problems or suffering without being annoyed, anxious. Now, I'm giving you a dictionary meaning. Very interesting. And he tells us we can help others overcome suffering and pain by encouraging the afflicted to have the courage to face it and to show compassion and sympathy toward the afflicted. And this expresses the love of God through us that ultimately would point the person to see the love of God in action, giving us the opportunity to share the gospel. And I find what he has written very insightful, because if you were to examine the lives of God's people throughout the ages, you would find that God oftentimes sends suffering to our lives because he loves us. And he wants to manifest his presence in our lives. There was a man who was happily married, and he was all set to join the Military Institute of Foreign Languages in California, USA, as an Asian language instructor, when cruel hand of fate struck him. Suddenly, he realized that he was becoming blind. And this was a testimony that he has written in the 1970s. And he tells us that gradually he was losing sight of the world around him. And as a teacher, he needs his eyes in order to teach. And so as his eyes became gradually more blurry, he had to try to teach his students, and oftentimes he tried to memorize, but to his dismay, He found that his eyesight was not getting better. He looked for doctors. He sought many, many doctors, treatment after treatment, but no avail. And then he testified. He says that the thing I had dreaded most had come. I felt as if both my body and spirit were bound together and thrown into a dark hell of despair. You know, darkness, the loss of sight, is a very grave thing. And he says, I was on the road to death all alone. There was no one who could walk with me. Not even my mother. Not even my wife. Not even my two daughters. You know, when he contracted the disease, his wife said, I cannot take care of you anymore. And so, wife and daughters left him. It was a most tragic time in his life. He was all alone. His world was plunged into darkness. And he wrote, my body and mind was engrossed in a suicidal attempt. He says that I was in this house and I was there for many days. And he says that I was groping in the dark. And he says that my senses, my hands, and the rest of my body had never felt so sensitive. When he had lost his sight, he had to feel with all the other senses that he had. And it was during that time of testing, that time of loss, where he tried to take his own life. So he took a rope and, you know, he got a chair and he climbed up and he thought that he's going to end his own life. And then he realized that there are still things that are not settled. And he fell down and he was on the ground, unconscious for a while. And then he rode, he testified. He heard a voice said, John, John, I heard someone calling me. Not thunderous, but loud, continuous. The voice seemed to fill up the room. Taken aback, I opened my eyes to see the bright light shining in my room and sweet-smelling fragrance filling me. Still ringing around me, the voice continued to shout my name, ordering me to get up. Who are you? I blurted, and did not realize that I could miraculously hear and see. Where are you? Frantically, waving my arm, he says, I ask over and over again, I am Jehovah, your God. Don't say you are all alone, because I'm always with you. You will know that you are not alone. Read page 320 of the Old Testament. This was the testimony, a real-life testimony. At times he comes to Singapore, and there was a film that was made. The blind Korean pastor, if you have heard of the story. And so he said, which page? 320. And that voice repeated, fading away. And then he heard the voice again. I seem to see a bright light too. And he says, I'm not alone. He is with me, I said to myself. He clearly told me he was Jehovah, my God. And he says, it puzzles me why God manifested himself before me when I was not seeking him. He says, 37 years of my life, I had not had any personal encounter, experience of knowing God. You know, he was born the son of a pastor. For many years, from his young age, he had gone to church. But he had not a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and how long God was left out of his consciousness, he said, I could not remember. He says that he had been forgotten for a long time. And he says, how and why he appeared to me at this crucial time to tell me that he was still with me. That's something, he says, I just could not know. He said, he would prove himself. It couldn't be real. It was incredible. My heart was pounding from the incident. God's message to me, page 320 of the Old Testament. And so he managed to get out of his house, and he was in the street, and he managed to find a student walking along the way. And he realized, before that, he realized that he has lost not only his sight, but he also lost his hearing. But when he went out into the street, he says that my hearing came back to me and I could hear again. And I managed to stop somebody and ask that person, holding my Bible in my hand, to read to me page 320. What's page 320? And he says, it's Joshua chapter 1. I had never paid attention, he says, to that chapter before. And verse 5 of the text says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And the student went on to the end of the page with gladness, noticing, he says, my delight in hearing the word and the voice of the student gradually changed into the voice I heard in that bright light and was talking to me personally. I could hear, be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So this blind man, groping for many days, deserted by all his loved ones, he was alone in that house, and he thought that life is coming to the end. And suddenly, tears began to flow, and a song, a hymn burst into his mouth. Though friends forsake me, Jesus still loves me. Jesus is my friend. He is the only one. Though the world may change, Jesus remained true to me. As he sung, tears flowed down his eyes. The more, he says, I thought of what the Lord told me through those verses, the more strength and courage was built up in me, even if the ever-present pitch darkness surrounded me, he says. With the overflowing joy within me, the darkness seemed to disappear. He remembered me in my distress and told me to be of a good courage because he would never forsake me. He says, the assurance gave me comfort. Be strong and of a good courage. With that power coming from God, Joshua was able to lead the Israelites to the land of Canaan. He alone couldn't have done it. But when God was with Joshua, he was not a weak man, but God was with him. The power of God helped him, and the Lord was with him. And he testified as he reflected upon in the quietness of the house, alone there. He says, In the past, I tried to draw strength from my knowledge, talents, and money, all of which were secular, transient values. Now they are of no value to me in my crisis. Those indeed had been obstacles placed between God and me, so I could find no true light I was seeking. And he said, I said the repentant prayer. Father, forgive me for my ignorance, he prayed. I know now that you are the only source of all power and that it cannot come from any other source in the world. Please help me to have power to overcome this despondency I feel because of my blindness. And he says, is there any meaning for the life of the blind person? What is the purpose for the blind people like me? And he says, I was assured that God would help me find the goal of my life. He says, physically, I had lost my sight. But how blessed I was to find the new light, the Savior Jesus Christ. God had no way to show me. Well, he sat there, he says. He dare not move. And then he said that God's presence was with him. And he ventured out of his house. And he went to a bus depot. And there in the bus depot, he was alone like a beggar. And there was a young boy who came to him. And the young boy said to him, would you come with me to my house? And he was brought as a blind man in the hand to the house of this young boy. And this young boy, you know, only had a grandmother. And they were living in the squatter. And in that squatter, he lived without means. In fact, he had not much for himself. He offered this blind man food and shelter. And for the first time, he says, in my life, I learned about love. And I learned it there in that squatter from this young boy. And this young boy said to him that, you know, you are a very fortunate person. You are educated. I am uneducated. He says, you know, I bought a set of school uniform and I bought a few books and they are hanging there in the cupboard. I hope that one day, you know, I bought it several years ago. I hope that one day I would be able to use it, go to school. But you had all your education. And he started to share his testimony, how he had everything in his life and until, you know, he lost his sight. And then he suddenly felt a realization from the bottom of his soul that he wanted to help this young boy. And from then on, God gave him the courage and the strength to pick himself up again. And he registered himself in a Bible school. And he spent some time to study there. And before that, he was able to gather many of the young children into a church. And how he ministered, how he helped them. He saw his life mission. He thought that he had lost his usefulness in life. And he thought that that's the end of life for him when he lost his sight. But God reached down and lifted from the depths of despair. This is from the back of the book. To fulfill his father's dream that he should become a preacher of the gospel. Through years of hard testing, Reverend John Ahn today heads the New Light Presbyterian Church of the Blind, New Light Evening School, New Light House for the Blind. As I read the biography, I was preparing this message, I recall reading this biography many years ago of this blind Korean pastor. I thought it gave me an idea of what the Apostle Paul was going through when he was struck down by the bright light from heaven on the road to Damascus. What was he doing? He was persecuting Christians. And, you know, his life was a total change before and after, just like this man, Mr. An. Wherever the believers fled after, you know, Stephen was killed 2 chapters before, how he was martyred, and this man Saul was there watching, right? And then he was given the mandate to pursue all these Christians and persecute them. You know, we are told that he was authorized letters to bring from the high priest. Now, I was reading through some of the facts concerning the power of the high priest. They had a great influence. They can command the activities in the synagogues all over the Roman Empire. And when he gave orders to persecute, you know, it's not like the church today, we don't have the power to put anybody in prison for any wrongdoing. But during those times, they had that power. And this was what the Apostle Paul was doing. He thought he was doing the right thing, and this was what God had wanted him to do. And suddenly, God arrested him. You know, the Apostle Paul's conversion, as you read this text in Acts chapter 9, you'll find that it will be repeated again in Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. A lot of space given to the testimony of the conversion of this man, because it was significant. The conversion of this man will change the landscape of the Roman Empire henceforth for the next 30 years. He will be the man whom Christ was sent to set ablaze the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And you know, within the next 100 years or so, the Christians would populate the Roman Empire. And by the year 400 AD, you'll find that the emperor himself was converted. And for the first time, it became a Christian empire. The state and the church came together. That was how that movement from this conversion brought about that kind of an impactful change to the world around. What happened? Well, this Christ, this God of the Old Testament, is real. And when you are touched by the presence of God in your life, it will change your life forever. These two thoughts we want us to see: heavenly commission, verse 12 to 16, and divine mission, verse 17 to 20. Verse 12. Jesus appeared to the man Ananias in the vision and instructed him to go and help this man Saul, blinded and waiting for his coming. Now, To be struck blind is something that we can never imagine. People having the full advantage of sight. But as you read the biography of this man, John Ahn, you have an idea of what it is to be blind, what it is to lose your sight. The impact is great. So for the Apostle Paul to suddenly lose his sight at the height of, you know, his usefulness, so-called, right? At least he thought that was what he was doing, right? Useful in the sight of God, doing the will of God, until he was arrested by Christ himself to tell him that he was going the wrong way. But you realize that oftentimes in the life of many of God's people, many testimonies, how, you know, they would go and they would go their own way and they don't want God in their lives. They totally wipe God out of their mind. And they don't want to remember anything of God. But the strange thing is this, if you study the testimony of this man, you study the testimony of the Apostle Paul, God didn't leave them alone. But God came to them, and this was the testimony of this man, John Ahn. And this was also the testimony of the Apostle Paul. How God came and God's presence was manifested in our lives through pain, through suffering. That's what the man C.S. Lewis is telling us when we begin. When he makes this observation, right, he says that when you observe pain, when you face suffering, you need a little courage. And then you need a little sympathy. You're happy that, you know, there are people around you. And what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus instructed the man Ananias to come to the street called Street in Damascus, and then to find this man called Saul in a certain house and to extend the right hand of fellowship to him as a Christian. Right, that's why in verse 17, he was called Brother Saul. And Jesus said, how do you identify him? Behold, he prayer. Verse 11, where we left off last week. Right, a man who don't want God suddenly is given the insight into the presence of God. Dear friends, this is the experience of many a child of God. Is this not your experience? Before you come to know God, we were lost. We don't know where we are going. And suddenly, something happened to us. And we are arrested by that event, by that happening. And very often, you find in the life of God's people that something happened. And it wakes us up and help us to see, arrest our attention to the presence of God in our lives. And so, you know, suffering, as we look at it in a Christian perspective, right, God allows it so that we may experience His presence in our lives. And verse 12 says, and this man has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him and he might receive his sight. So, two visions were given. One vision to Ananias, to ask Ananias to go and find this man Saul. Right? He identified him as a man who is praying. And then for Saul himself, the vision was given to him that a man would come to him and would heal him of his blindness and would baptize him So you see how God works in such a powerful way. How do you go about, you know, orchestrating such events? You realize that you can't. It is divine, supernatural. God is real. He is truly powerful. And He wants us to get to know Him personally. Last week we studied, we said, the life of Sabdu Sundar Singh. How God appeared to him, 1905. 1904 and 1905, at the end of it, he was baptized. That vision of Christ caused him to set ablaze the entire Indian continent in the last century. And then, we said, another 23, 24 years later, to another man, Dr. John Sung. He also received the vision of Christ and his commission. And then he came and he preached the gospel. We are the fruit, you may say, of that changed life. Is it real? Well, it's for us to see, to examine. And so there were two lawyers who, in the 16th, 17th, 18th century, friends. They were non-Christians. They wanted to prove that the Apostle Paul's conversion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ were false. So they wanted to challenge the Bible. And these are men with very keen mind. And they attempted to write two books to disprove. And they spent all their time in their study and their research. And today we have these two epic books written by these two men. They became Christians. They said that you just cannot overturn the facts, the truth of the Christian faith. And that is why the Lord wants us to be comforted. If we have experienced the presence of God in our lives, because God has met us in those moments of our anguish, it changes our life. We wouldn't want to forsake Him in any way. We want to continue our life with Him. This was the life of the Apostle Paul. And what did Jesus say to Ananias in verse 15? It says, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." He is a chosen vessel unto me, the Lord said. And this man, Paul, or Saul, would blaze the trail to, as you see, as we will study in the rest of the Acts of the Apostles, this man would more or less, we said, single-handedly, with many others with him, preach the gospel. And he would first enter into Europe. And it is from there that we in Asia have received the blessing through the many missionaries sent from there. And so, we want us to know here the conversion of this man, how God did work in his heart. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings. And later on, he was sent in front of the King Agrippa, chapter 26. Of the book of Acts, it is described to us what happened, you know, in that encounter in the bright light. Just as John, when he met the Lord, And he heard a voice asking him to read page 350. You find the Apostle Paul being commissioned by the Lord. Turn with me to Acts 26, verses 15 to 18. Now, this is the encounter and the conversation that he had with the Lord that changed his life. Even in suffering, even in pain, he would continue to follow his Lord. How is it possible if Jesus is not real? He must be crazy to do such a thing. Acts 26, 15 says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I sent thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Wow, this was what God commissioned him to do. He first must see the light. And he saw the light. God changed him. He saw the power of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. He saw that this is the God who made everything. All things come from Him. He has the power to give sight. He has the power to take away sight. This is the Creator Himself. Dear friends, we are speaking about a heaven and earth shaking encounter. And we want us to see, to know, right, that God continues to meet with men and women today to save them, to manifest His presence to them, that they may understand their miserable estate, right, going all the way on a one-way ticket to hell. And so for this man John, you know, after his conversion, after he began his ministry, one day he was sitting in a retreat. He was alone. He went to a lakeside, and being a blind man, he could not see, but he was enjoying the breeze. He was enjoying the presence of the lake in front of him. And there was someone who came near him and said, "How come you are so happy? You can't even see what is in front of you." Ah, it gave him an opportunity to share the light that was in him. You see, he understood the eternality of God in Jesus Christ. And that this temporary blindness is not forever. You know, when Jesus Christ would return again, He would return to us, anyone, you know, with any disability in the body, well, He will create everything anew for you. No loss at the end. But He has a plan for this world. He wanted to save men and women lost in their sins, bound for hell, to awake them to the wrath to come and to flee from the wrath, to find the light. That's why John called his church the true light, because he did saw the light. The Apostle Paul saw the light, and he described what pain he had to go through. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23-33, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often, of Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." Now, the first beatings, possibly, is later on, you see, in the later verses, how he went to the synagogue immediately after his conversion to preach Christ. He was incarcerated. And this was the suffering that he went through. But did that suffering cost him to stop proclaiming the Christ? No, he was unflinching because he knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. He knew his life mission. Dear friends, do you know what God would want you to do for your life? The Lord wants you to know how you would be able to serve Him, how you are to serve Him with the life that He has given to you. For the Apostle Paul, God said to him so clearly, this was the commission, the heavenly commission that he received. That's our first thought in verse 12 to 16. And then the second thought, the divine mission from 17 to 20. Ananias went his way, 17 says, and enter into the house and put his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And so you see, this man Ananias came lovingly. Remember earlier he said, the earlier verse it says, this man is a persecutor. You want me to go and talk to him? He has done such evil to Christians. I wouldn't want to go near him. But God had changed him. And so Ananias came. I remember the words of C.S. Lewis. You can provide a little sympathy, right, to those who are suffering. And that was what Ananias was doing. Providing a little sympathy, extending a help to this rebel. No one would dare to receive him. But the Lord had to specifically instruct Ananias to go and see him, to help him. And we realize that, you know, because we are made in the image of God, that God loves us, and he would not want us to perish in any way. But because he loved us, that's why he reached out to us. He extended his love to us. And the way God reached out to us, we may not understand it. That's why C.S. Lewis, you know, in his writing, he says, Why is there a God who is all powerful and all loving, allow suffering and pain to come upon this world? Verse 17, the second part, it says, that thou mightest, Ananias says to Paul, receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow! You mean he touched his eyes and he received sight again? Oh, he's not a doctor. Doesn't practice medicine. But how could he do that? What power came through him Well, it was a power attesting to the power of God. And you would see and you would attest that God is still alive, you know, today. And God's heart to save men and women strayed away from Him has not changed. And the Apostle Paul was set on this mission to bring lost souls, miserable, sad, hurt, to be healed again. And he received that comfort. So Ananias must be such a one to come to him in a very loving way, in a very gentle way, calling him Brother Saul, to receive him. Right? And immediately, verse 18 says, there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Oh, what power! What power! God is alive. And this God whom we serve is real. And He wants us to rehearse these testimonies of His power so that we will not be despondent. He wants us to be of good courage. He wants us to pick ourselves up again, to hope again. And this is what we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. How God, through Christ, received him. Life came into him. Before that, he was a dead man. Verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. They ministered to him. And he managed to regain strength. And as you think, right, we saw the testimony of John An, how during that time he went to the Word of God again. He says, I must go to the Word of God in order that I may help this little boy. I need God's wisdom. And so he began the study of God's Word. For the Apostle Paul, you know, he was a man of Tarsus, a Roman citizen staying in a Greek city, but was sent by his Jewish father and mother to Jerusalem to study under the famous Jewish teacher, Gamaliel, for the most part of his life. So he was an Old Testament scholar. He knows the inside out of the Old Testament. He knows all these things. And suddenly, you know, in that 3 days of blindness, all this knowledge that he had stored up in his mind concerning the Christ all came into place. He understood what the Old Testament was all about. He understood who this Christ is, how he manifests himself in the flesh in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, without sin, live a sinless life, and how he was consigned to the cross, how he shed his blood to wash away our sins, and how he died, and 3 days later, rose again from the dead. This is the Christ that the Apostle Paul saw. He says that I am the last person to see him, one born out of due time, because I persecuted the church of God. He understood who he was, but he also understood that privilege that God gave to him. And so verse 20 tells us that he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is special revelation. God showed it to us, and the Holy Spirit bring it to us to understand that this is the Christ. Is this your experience? This is my experience. I remember before my conversion, I don't understand the scriptures at all, but I could trace after conversion to the understanding of scriptures. How? I cannot explain to you. Before that, you know, was advocating a one world government, a one world system. Then after that, totally converted, changed, don't understand. This is the power of conversion, the presence of the Holy Spirit to use His Word to open your spiritual eyes. And for many of us here, I believe, and I've heard many of your testimonies, how God came to your life, how you knew it because of some suffering that came, and you experienced the presence of God in your life. The Lord wants you not to forget what He has done for you, how He has healed you. Do not say, now that I'm well, I can live my own life. Do not forget what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Continue to follow Him, continue to serve Him, continue to walk with Him, and the blessings of God will abound forevermore in your life. But if you choose, when God has blessed you, to become cold in the things of God, well, you realize that the Lord will not leave you alone. The Lord will bring you back. And oftentimes, it is through suffering, through pain. And so this man, he wrote the problem of pain, right, to try to explain from the Christian perspective, as a layman, what it means. I can understand after reading him what we are talking about. As we review the life of this man, we can understand what God is saying to us. The Apostle Paul understood his life mission. He will not dare to deviate. Right? This God who had blinded him and healed him, you never know if you'll be blinded again. The fear of God came into his heart. He understood that he is the creature and that he needs to continue to learn to be submitted to his God. And this is the lesson that we all must learn too. We are a forgetful people. We forget the blessings that we receive from God. Easily we forget. You look at the history of Israel, it was like that. May we not? For the Apostle Paul, he did not forget. But the Lord reminded him. The Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh to remind him that he needed him. The Lord wants us to know what great privilege he has given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord, our Creator, Sustainer and Savior. May we not forget Him. May we keep close to Him because He is the source of our life. With Him, we have everything. Without Him, we have nothing. May God be merciful to help us to see in perspective this truth and help us to be an Ananias, to go as the Lord would lead you through His Spirit to help some brother in Christ in trouble. May we be willing to give time to go and help someone. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for bringing us into Thy house to worship Thee and to hear of Thy love for us. O God, I pray that Thou bring to remembrance the life of the Apostle Paul, his conversion and his commission to our hearts. That we too, having our eyes open to the things of God and having the Word of God commissioning us to be His witnesses, may we not be slack to do our duty, to pay our gospel debt. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.